Oh my gosh, we finally had someone apply.
12 chairs, 26 people. That's impressive.
Nothing beats that feeling, and it's worth the risk and the consequences that you might face to get there. We can teach you hair. We can do that. We can't teach you to change your energy or change your values if they don't align with ours. So that's how you develop the...
I have a question for you. How passionate are you about your own business? How passionate you are about your salon, your work can make or break your culture. Your team can pick up on your energy, and if you're not passionate or falling out of love with your salon, your team won't be motivated or interested in working in your salon. When you create a culture, live your free culture, your team will feel alive and you will begin to attract the type of people that want to stick around in your business. So today I'm joined by Natalie Wood. She's the founder of the incredible Click Salon in Houston, Texas. This is the story of how she grew her team to 30 without ever picking up a hairbrush or a pair of scissors. This episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by the Salon Mastery Boardroom Program. It's designed for $1 million salons who are looking to elevate their salon to the next level. You know, maybe $2, $3, even $5 million. Join our closed room conversations to learn easy to implement strategies that make you the CEO of a multi-million dollar business. Just click apply. It's in the show notes of this episode and we'll have a chat. All right, enjoy this episode. Natalie, I'm so pleased to have you on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here. Super nice to meet you. Big fan of your work.
Thank you so much. Now we're on the complete opposite sides of the earth. And I love that you're in the middle of the day. I'm just starting my day, but we get to chat about all things salons.
It's awesome.
So for those that don't know you, Natalie, can you give us a little bit of where are you in the world? What do you do? How did you get to be doing it?
Okay. Wow. Those are so many questions. Still a little time. So I am in Houston, Texas. So definitely, you know, a long ways away from where you are. I've been in the salon industry for 22 years. I have a degree in psychology and a master's in education, curriculum instruction, like how to design education. And so ending up in the hair industry, mind blown, never expected to be here. So, you know, super short story of how I ended up in the hair industry was, you know, 22 years ago, I was probably close to 23, 24. I actually married a hairdresser and we both wanted to kind of move to a bigger city. We were from a small town and we wanted to move to Houston. And so I said, well, with my degree in psychology, I didn't have my master's yet. I'll take care of the business people aspect, the whole management side, and you can do the hair. And so that's how I ended up in the industry. So then we moved to Houston. We opened Click Salon together. And super long story short, we ended up getting divorced. We had drastically different ideas, you know, about how the salon should be run. He was kind of burnt out, kind of over it. And I was, surprisingly enough, had developed an insane passion for the industry. And so, you know, when we got divorced, all I cared about was, I want the salon and I want my son. And like I like to joke is I get what I want, right? So I got the salon. And so that's really when we had our significant culture change. And, you know, that was probably about seven to eight years ago. And, you know, that's when we just really exploded. And I love the industry. People ask all the time, well, why didn't you just go to hair school? And I said, I don't care about doing hair. And they're just, you know, and I'm like, my passion are the people that do hair and they are my clients. And so if you take care of them, they're going to take care of the people that do hair. And anyone can own any business if you hire the right people. So, you know, it's actually works beautifully, as I know you understand, even though you do hair or did hair, you know, actually have a license. It works beautifully because I hire people that know how to do hair and can teach and educate that and focus on that hardcore. And that's their sole focus. And my sole focus is taking care of the team. So, you know, we have two types of clients, clients that walk in the door and clients that literally live in the salon.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my story.
I love that. And 22 years in and still growing and thriving. That's my hat.
Still growing.
Take my hat off to you. That's like not an easy feat. You have 26. There's so many things we have alike, Natalie. 20 years in business. You have 26 in your team. I too had a big format team. Like that's another whole beast and dynamic in itself, having a team that
Absolutely.
Large.
Absolutely.
And I really wanted to have you on the podcast because I really want to discuss this topic of live your free culture. And we're going to come back to that in just a moment because this is super interesting to me. Because I know there is a question that everybody listening still wants to have answered, and that is your ex-husband still working in the salon? Or has he moved on?
Absolutely not. Hell no. No, he definitely moved on. Now, I've actually been to seminars where owners have gotten divorced and they still run the salon together. And oh my gosh, major kudos to them. But like I said, he was so burnt out. Even if it had been on good terms, it wouldn't have worked because you have to, as you know, you can't grow a business, grow a team, lead a team if you're not passionate, because they're going to pick up on that energy. And that's one of the number one things on the Live Your Free Culture is you have to know your why, you know, and you have to be passionate about it. And that was just gone for him. So he is no longer a part of the salon. But hey, I know it works for some people and good for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Live Your Free Culture. Let's articulate what is it and how did you come up with it?
Okay. So Live Your Free Culture, the best way that I can describe it, it's basically creating a team, and it's going to be different for every single company, but it's creating a team where they can work in an environment to where they do what makes them feel most alive, you know, where they feel most free, you know. And the way to do that is you have to start first with, like I said, leadership, as in, like, you have to know what your purpose is and your why. And so once you know that, then you're going to attract people that believe the same way. And anytime that you have a team that's living their free and they're doing work that makes them feel most alive, they're going to what? They're going to stick around. They're going to be happy. They're going to work with other team members. You're going to really retain, which we all know that retaining team members in any industry, but especially the salon industry, is a hot topic. And it's how do you retain? And the number one thing that I'm going to say, and this is also backed up by stats, by research, it's not money. Now, don't get me wrong. We pay our team very, very well. I'm not saying, you know, don't pay them. That's still a reason, but it's not the number one reason. The number one reason they stay or leave is culture. So that's how I came up with that. Is I was going through a phase in my life to where I realized the only way I'm going to be happy is if I live my free. And living free is doing and saying whatever makes me feel most alive, and, you know, regardless of the consequences. And, you know, once I did that and I went through that process, you know, which was not an easy process, it made me realize that being in an environment where you can be yourself, speak your truth, do what makes you feel most alive, which, like I said, is different for everyone. Nothing beats that feeling, and it's worth the risk and the consequences that you might face to get there.
Yeah. Okay, something's clearly working with a team of 26. That means retention. You've got that down pat. I'm really keen for you to share, like, how does that become a living, breathing culture within your team? How is the conversation had? Maybe you can share, what does it look like for one or two of your team members in terms of their version of living free inside of your culture? Give us like bird's eye view inside the business.
Absolutely. So, you know, it starts with, Like I said, you have to define your whole purpose. Like, why did you open that salon? And for us, it was to create sensational hair experiences. And while you're opening that salon, that has to come from the top, has to come from the leader. So okay, we're creating sensational hair experiences. Why? Okay, well, for me, it's because I wanted people to feel important, feel valued, feel special. We just don't get that in today's world. And so, you know, I wanted them to feel like they were someone. So it starts with that. Once you define that and you live that and you're passionate about that, and then obviously you create values under that, then you start attracting people that want to do that too. And so as in like, that is what makes them feel most alive. So our team, if you want to take a sneak peek into it, you go in every day. And what makes them feel most alive is making people feel special and valued and like there's someone. You know, I say all the time, it's not just about the hair. Do we want to be the very best salon in Houston hair-wise? Hell yes. And we are, right? In my opinion. And, you know, I think our reviews say that as well. But ultimately, it's not just about the hair, because you could create an amazing look. And if the experience isn't there, then to me, you've lost, you know, 75% of your impact just like that. So, you know, that's a sneak peek. And it's hiring, talking to people. And I'm a really big energy person. So I believe in hiring for the right energy and the right fit for your values. We can teach you hair. We can do that. We can't teach you to change your energy or change your values if they don't align with ours. So that's how you develop the culture of Live Your Free, is you got to start with your purpose, your why, your values. Live that. You're going to attract that, hire for that. And then you have a team full of that. And of course, you get stragglers that either along the way change their mind or you realize they weren't a good fit. And I always say, no one's bad or wrong. It's just not a good fit. So it looks different for everyone.
I love that, because I think sometimes as owners, we can put pressure on ourselves to get it right, to not make a mistake, hire the right person, or that everybody that we hire, if it's not a good fit or if it goes wrong, that it's our fault and that we haven't changed them enough or we haven't provided the right environment for them enough, rather than to your statement, it's not a good fit. This is what we're doing. And it's okay if you don't like what we're doing and don't want to fit into our little box.
Oh my gosh. It's you're in my head, literally. Get out of my head, right? But that's exactly what I tell them, is I accept you for who you are. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to grow together, because that's a huge part of our culture. But I accept you for who you are and your beliefs and, you know, your value. And some of them, you said, you know, what does Live Your Free look like? And some of them are still trying to find out what makes them feel most alive. And I'm part of that process. If I can help them figure that out, then wow, you know, that just makes my whole day or year or life, literally, because I'll get, you know, messages from people that worked with us, you know, 10 years ago. And they're like, you really helped me figure that out. And sometimes figuring that out means leaving our company.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of trying to manage 26 people, does part of that living your free and living what's best for you include the way that they can engage in terms of rosters, hours, availability? Talk to me about that, because I feel like as an industry of young people coming into the workforce, there's a shift in what people consider full-time, are prepared to work.
Things have changed in 20 years, haven't they?
Yeah. Things have changed in like 3 years. Yep. So I'm interested in how is that represented in a team of 26 and managing all the different needs and balancing serving the demand of clients?
Well, so the one thing I can say to that, without, you know, going into every system we have, which we would be here, you know, all day, is the fact that we are constantly evolving, and you have to be to stay on top of it and to continue to retain. That is one thing, is you can have an amazing culture, but you, that's number one, but there's still things that come under it too. So the whole live your free, I'm going to say your culture is definitely number one. Freedom right now is huge, huge, huge. I even have it tattooed on my side, right? That's how important it is. So I value that and I get it. But at the same time, it's like I'm trying to run a business. So the best thing I can say to that is we have went from, you know, 10 years ago, everyone works 5 days, everyone works, you know, 8 hour days, to, you know, gradually shifting, and then gradually, you know, having people work 3 long days and then 4 days off. And, but we're actually in the process right now of evolving once again with creating more freedom with scheduling. And it's just what you have to do. If you are stuck in your ways, not you personally, but all of us, and it's so easy because you're like, oh, but that was working so well. And that's what I know, you know, you have to evolve. And if you don't, then you will not stay relevant. You know, I don't know how you feel about that, but that's the best answer I can get, is constantly be evolving.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we're also, we have to remember also that clients are also evolving in the same current environment. And I think there's a little bit of freedom and flexibility, and I don't know what the word is, but clients get it. They understand. They don't complain like they used to if, you know, Jemima is not available at 7 p.m. anymore.
They don't. They've learned to adapt. And totally. Yep, absolutely.
They're adaptable also. So I think we can take the pressure off ourselves a little bit. And I think there's a luxury. I just want to bring this up because this is a conversation I've been having recently. There's a little bit of a luxury, as the larger the size of the team, the more flexibility you have as a business. Would you agree?
Absolutely. So, you know, for instance, we give tons of vacation. I can't say that we're at the point, you know, like Destroy the Hairdresser says, give unlimited. We're not at that point yet. But we give so much to where it's rarely even a problem. So it's kind of the same. But that's the beauty of it. When you have a large team, someone takes vacation or someone's sick, just like literally today, one of our top producers has been sick for 2 days and she's booked weeks and weeks in advance. We have a huge team to absorb those guests. And you know, they know that we work as a team. And so obviously we give them the choice. We say, hey, we have your appointment moved to, you know, Trish, or, you know, we can look for a different day with Amanda. And they're so okay with it. It's so rare that we get a guest at this point when, you know, someone is sick or, you know, has a mental health day, things like that, that they get upset, because they know they're going to be taken care of somehow, some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you only have three people, that's hard, but hey, we started there. So you got to start somewhere, you know?
Exactly. And I think, you know, there's a time in business when you're smaller that it's hard. When
it's hard.
You're trying to make the ends meet, pay all of the overheads and get into, I guess, flow. And I think,
yes,
you know,
flow.
A lot of people, a lot of owners are fearful of becoming big. Because they're thinking the stress I have now at this side is going to be amplified as we get bigger, or does amplify the stress. And I think actually it probably doesn't do that at all. Would you agree? Hey there, dear listener. I wanted to jump in and interrupt just very quickly to say that my team and I are on a mission to elevate the industry. We want to change the perspective that we are a career for school dropouts who like painting nails and playing with hair, but they were actually business owners and CEOs. So I need your help to grow the reach of the Salon Owners Collective podcast so that more salon owners can learn how to change their life and improve their business through great strategies. No more 60 hours a week working too hard. All you need to do is make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, because when you do that, it pushes the algorithm out to more salon owners just like you. And together we can raise the profile and the perspective of the industry. All right, that's my ask. Back to the episode.
I would agree. If looking back, there's different hearts, you know. I would never look at someone with a small team and say, oh, well, my heart is different or worse because I'm bigger. It's just different hearts. There is no one is harder, worse, better, you know, just different. But if I had to choose between back in the day having five versus having, you know, just round it to 30, I would choose 30 any day. Yeah, it's, and in fact, I want to grow. I want more. And the more flexible scheduling you have, you realize that, wow, I'm like, we have 12 chairs. You realize I have 26 people. I could, with flexible scheduling, I mean, I literally could have 50 at this point in with flexible scheduling and not even open a second location and, you know, get the most bang out of your buck. So it's a Texas saying, you know.
Okay, hold the horse. I'm impressed at 12 chairs, 26 people. That's impressive. I had, 27, 30, and we had 17 chairs. And I had to do, flexible rostering and really manage that. So that's impressive.
Well, and I have to say all 26 are not styles because I'm including guest service, but literally, let's just say, I think there's 20 stylists. I could easily at this point, once again, getting more flexible with my scheduling, even more than I am already. I could at least hire probably 10 to 20 more, but that goes all into flexible scheduling, which that's a whole different podcast, right?
That's a whole different spreadsheet for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about recruitment because this again is a hot topic right now. And if you can employ and retain 26 people, you're doing something right in the recruitment space. I know personally it has a lot to do with culture and reputation, but let's talk about that. I know that lots of people say to me, oh, there's no hairdressers around to recruit right now. And I say, hang on. I had that problem. So I've sold my salon 11, 20, long time ago. Mm-hmm. It was a problem for me then too. I think it's it can feel like an industry problem, but I think maybe it's just amplified now. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the problem and how to solve it?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. How much time do we have? So
let's go.
Let's go. Okay. So when it comes to the recruitment process, because I have been there as in, oh my gosh, we finally had someone apply. And then it's like, you're like, you know what? Screw hiring by my values. I'm just going to hire them because I'm desperate. I've been there many, many times. Of course, I learned in the long run, it doesn't work out, you know, but I know what it's like to get excited when someone walks in that door and you're like, thank God, you know. But I'm going to go back to where we are now is we actually have people on a wait list to work with us and be in our education program. Now, to get there, though, you're going to know what I'm going to say. It all starts with your culture. You have to have the right culture. Now, that being said, though, you also have to advertise that. Because you can have an amazing culture, but if no one knows about it, it's not really going to help you. So one of the things that we did to where we got to the point where we actually had a waiting list, and this has only been within the past couple of years, is we got our culture down so well. We got so clear on who we were that we were like, okay, we've got the culture inside. Now it's time for us to work on our brand outside. And that's when we got into, you know, more of the social media branding. Now, we always went to schools. So that is another huge thing that I'm going to recommend is go to schools. If you don't have, you know, schools to go to, if you're in a small town, then, you know, to me, you have to hit social media even harder. But we're in Houston, so we have schools. So that was one way before we did social media that we were able to get our culture across was going to the schools. But culture first. Anything else to me is a waste of your time until you get the culture down. Then go for the branding. You know, go to the schools. You know, definitely social media. We do have an amazing, you know, social media company, but that's very new and we're just now to that. We did our own social media for many, many years and it wasn't that great. but it's still better than nothing. Get your name out there. You know, if that gets you three stylists a year that align with your values, that's amazing. That's great. So, you know, that's my recommendation is culture, go to the schools, get your brand out there. Definitely social media. You got to do social media now. And a lot of people hate it. And I get that. That's why we finally hired someone. But a lot of people aren't in that situation yet to hire someone. You know, we weren't 2 years ago. So sometimes you got to do what you hate, you know, to get where you need to be. And for me, the hate and the pain of not having people wanting to work with us, and I knew how great we were, that pain was greater than getting on social media. So I was like, you know what? We're going to post, guys. We're going to post every day. We're going to come up with something. And, you know, now we don't have to. So, you know, that would be my simple formula, you know, is you just got to do it.
All right. I love that. I want to touch on two of those super amazing things that you talked about.
Let's
talk about the social media first, and then we're going to come back to the hate and the pain because I love that. Okay, social media. So you are talking about social media that is talking to the clients, but it's also talking to your future team members.
Yes.
Like you're not just posting, you know, before and afters. You're posting about the inside of your business, the culture of your business, the people that are doing, what are they doing? How are they doing it? Because you're actually got two audiences.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I feel like you and I are so aligned. We need to meet in person one day. But so when we hired our social media team, I told them, and they were kind of surprised about what I said. I said, my target audience is stylists. And they were like, what? It's not clients? I'm like, we have tons of clients. We need stylists to take care of our tons of clients. Now, I'm not saying we alienate our clients, and we do post all about culture and you know, stuff like that. And they love that. But our target audience is stylists. So if you look at our social media, the vast majority of it is education, how to, you know, little snippets on cut color, our team having fun, you know, showing the actual inside consults, things like that. And clients say all the time, even though it's targeted towards stylists, clients come in and they say, we love how, you know, we look at your page and we're thinking, wow, like they're doing that on us. So clients actually love the education. And obviously I'm big on education, but the more you educate your clients, the more value you add anyway. So our target audience is not our clients. It's not before and afters, in my opinion, are gone. Like we'll post one every now and then. And I tell our stylists, do it, because clients find the salon, or they may even find you. And in that instance, they do want to see your work. But as a company in general, we do very few of those. I mean, when we tried it in the past, you know, after it was hot, those you get like three likes on. You post about your culture, you know, it can blow up and, you know, get 500,000. So, I mean, that's just my viewpoint, but they want to see what's going on inside.
Look, I agree. And when I come to your Instagram page, it's alive. Do you know, there's... Mm-hmm. It's not flat. It's alive. There are living, breathing people. There are smiling, and I'm seeing people doing the work. I'm, you know, the craft that your business does, and whether it's the smiling client or whether it's the person doing the work, it's alive. I love it. So I love that.
It's alive. I like that. I'm going to tell our social media manager. She's going to love that. It's alive.
It is.
Yeah. I like that.
I can't even think of another word. That's just a good word for it.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Let's talk about the hate and the pain, because I think this is really important. I'm going to take the word hate and pain and turn that into the discipline of doing the things that you don't necessarily love. Like
discipline.
It's just discipline. It's a little bit of CEO discipline. Sometimes you just got to do the shit you hate.
Absolutely.
Do you know what? Eat your broccoli, eat your vegetables so you can have the dessert. It's really what it is.
Absolutely. And when I talk about a live your free culture, and it's doing what makes you feel most alive, You know, one of the things that we educate our team on, and I'm constantly educating myself on, is to do what makes you feel most alive. Oftentimes, there's a process to get there. And so you have to go through that pain. You have to do those things you don't like. You know, for instance, I've always hated to do payroll. I've just, it's one of my things. I just freaking hate it. I'm just now at a point to where I can hire someone to do it. But to get to that point, I sure couldn't have been like, you know what? I'm just going to live my free and I'm just going to do only what makes me feel alive. And you know what? Forget payroll. Right. You know, but that being said, majority of what you do in the moment needs to make you feel most alive. And yeah, you're going to have those smatterings of things that, you know, you hate and the pain is great, but you have to say, you know what, the pain of, and or the pain now of having to do it is not near as bad as the joy that I'm going to feel if I just keep on this road. So it absolutely is just self-discipline. It's self-discipline. Yeah. But I think if you're having to do nothing that, but it all brings you pain, basically, if everything you do is bringing you pain, you know, that to me is a sign of, you know, you're not living your free, and, you know, you need to maybe continue to do that while you search out, you know, what is going to make me feel most alive, you know, yeah. And then make that happen.
Yeah. We have this 80-20 rule. It's really a 20-60-20 rule. And that is the balance of the type of work that one must do. And so the 80-20 rule really is 20% of the stuff that you do should be what I would call shiny objects. They're fun, they're new, they're exciting, and I can't wait to get into it. Like, I will ditch anything to just play on that. I will do it on a Sunday in the middle of the day because I'm excited to do it. Like, at least 20% of your living week or month or the things that you're working on should be 20, the fun stuff. And then the rest is like business as usual. And probably while I make that 20-60, I have to do the math now, 20-60-20, is that probably in the rest of that, 20% of it will just be plain crap, the hate and pain. And like, this is a bit of a grind. You got to be prepared to do the grindy stuff. And the stuff in the middle is just business as usual. And typically I don't love business as usual. It's repetitive. It's the same thing every week. And I've, you know, the stock order has to be done every week on repetition.
Yep.
But it's business as usual and I got to do it. And so I have to be a little bit disciplined to do that, even though I really hate to do it. And maybe for you, payroll was in the 20% that you're like, oh my God, I actually hate this. So yes, it's just about finding a balance. Because like you say, if you have too much of all the good stuff and you don't do the business as usual, the wheels fall off.
Absolutely.
And then if we're smart, we constantly give, as we pick up the next new shiny 20%, the 20% we just worked on becomes business as usual. Mm-hmm. And if we're smart and we're growing, we can give away, delegate, or recruit to take away the crap that we hate.
That you said it right there, is delegate, give away, recruit. Like, that's always my goal. And I love the shiny objects analogy that you used. I'm so going to remember that. But absolutely, that's always my goal. If I come across something that I just don't want to do anymore, I'm like, okay, solution is, how can I find a way to get there? And my plan might be a 2-year plan to do that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I might be able to figure it out in 2 days. But yeah, absolutely. Give away, delegate, hire someone.
So you can do the next shiny object, because that's the stuff that keeps you alive and excited and moving forward. And I can't, that gets me to bounce out of bed because I actually want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Love these conversations. Yeah. Okay. I've got a question for you. Being a progressive business owner, what is a quote or a mantra or something that, you know, keeps you focused front and center?
Well, I think we've already talked a lot about, you know, how we have to constantly be evolving. So we have team retreats every year, and this was one of my quotes to them at the very beginning of the retreat. And that is, the only constant is change, you know, and if you're not changing, you're dying. And that's just fact. And it's old, it's an old quote, but it doesn't change. And, you know, most of us as humans love routine and sameness because we get comfortable. And so we have to, once we embrace that nothing is permanent and that the only thing we can depend on, the only thing we can depend on is change, then to me, it gives you a certain level of freedom. You know, I'm using that word again of, you know what? I can actually depend on the fact that things are always going to be changing. And so, I mean, that's it. The only constant is change. You know, I also use this at the retreat, and we're going to go back to, you know, remember, are you familiar with Blockbuster where you would go, you know, rent the, okay. So, you know, in 2008, the CEO of Blockbuster said, you know, and this isn't, it's a paraphrase of his quote. And it said, you know, I see zero competition coming from Netflix. They're not a threat. And I think we all know where that led, Blockbuster. And so, you know, it's, yes, that is an extreme example, but it is an example as in we have to constantly be changing. So yeah, we're constantly changing and our team knows it and they're used to it, you know, and just what we have to do.
Yeah. I love that. All right. What is a book or maybe a podcast or even a group, community group? What's something that you think all owners need to get their hands on?
They definitely have to watch your podcast.
Of course.
Of course. They already are, right? So so I love to read. So that's definitely one of my forever shiny objects. So I would say pretty much any book by Simon Sinek. I don't know if you're aware of him, but he talks a lot about finding your why. And I think one of the books is The Power of Why. And, you know, ultimately he's about finding your why, creating a team, Leaders Eat Last, things like that. So any book by Simon Sinek is, to me, if you're looking to create a better culture, then read his books, read all of his books and implement them. Don't just read, but implement.
Yeah. Yes. Good tip there. Mm-hmm. All right, Natalie, I know people are going to come and want to stalk your socials, find you on the web. Tell us, where can we find you?
Okay, so I'm on, you know, Instagram, TikTok. So on Instagram, it's Natalie Renee Wood. So Natalie and then Renee, R-E-N-A-E Wood. And then on TikTok, it's Nat, N-A-T, Renee Wood. Or you could just go to Click Salon. That's our handle on Insta, TikTok, C-L-I-Q-U-E. And you'll see me on there. It's easy, but yeah, like if any of you guys have any questions or anything, just reach out. I just, one of my passions is just literally helping people, you know, live their free. And if I can be of any help in that way, all about it.
I love that. This has been an awesome discussion today, Natalie. I really, really,
I've
really
so enjoyed
it.
And thank you for having me.
A huge thank you to Natalie for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast, all the way from Houston. You're all the way in the north. I'm all the way in the south. And I love that you've been able to grow your team to nearly 30 without actually doing any hair. Like, it is possible. Goes to show that you can lead your team, build the culture that you create, and the flexibility to give your team all of the things that they need to really make the difference in their lives and their professional lives. I hope you've learned something from this podcast, that it has inspired you to take a really good look at your culture inside of your salon and the things that you can do to make it just a little bit better for not only your team, but your clients also. Before you go, I need your help. We need your help to help more salons reach the $1 million mark. We want to elevate this industry, so I invite you to click the subscribe button on this podcast. Help us reach more salons, reach the $1 million mark, one salon at a time. All right, ciao for now.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.